Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you bless us in each and every step of life that we take. We take it so for granted, but we are thankful that you love us and really ask for nothing in return. You bless us. You give us strength in our walk of life. We ask you be with us now. These things we ask in your name. Amen. How many of you have ever played football in the backyard or in a field somewhere? It doesn't have to be male-oriented. This is male and female. If you're not raising your hand, I know you're lying, okay? I know when I grew up, or when Dana and I grew up, one of the things we did every Sunday afternoon was get together with a bunch of people and play backyard football. Now, you would get together, and somebody's raising their hand. They say, I'm going to be the guy that goes for the pass. I'm going to run the ball, or I'm going to be the quarterback. But nobody ever wanted to be the lineman, did they, Mitchell? The ones that really can make it happen. But anyway, when Dana and I played together, we would get together, and the guy that was the quarterback, if you had a place in the field, you'd sat down, you got on one knee, and you started drawing circles, and you said, you go here, you go there, and you go whatever. Now, Dana, every time Dana came into the huddle, Dana says, I'm going long. I don't care what you told him to do, he's going to go as fast as he can, as far as he can, and he thinks every pass has got to come to him, okay? That's backyard football. You kind of make it up as you go. And then as we grow, and we get more dedicated and more focused on this, we start playing organized football. You really have to be dedicated. Now, if you played Little League football, whether you played in high school or whether you played in college, the difference being is you had a coach, you had a plan, you practiced a lot, but you got to wear a jersey, had a number on it, and you were identified. But it was a lot of work, and it required a focus. You had to come to practice and focus, because no matter what the plan might have been, if you didn't use those special talents that God gives us, there's going to be a breakdown somewhere. It's not going to happen. There's going to be something that's going to go wrong. But the thing about it, when it goes wrong, just like God, you pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, and you try again. Now, God has presented a plan for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. A few minutes ago, Ken read the scripture from Matthew 28, 16 through 20. But listen to these words, if you will. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, just remember, I'm with you always to the end of age. Now, going back to that football game, the difference between backyard football and organized football is that plan. Now, these words from Matthew have been referred to traditionally as the Great Commission. But for today, if you will, refer to it as God's plan. This was the plan for the disciples to carry on Jesus' earthly work just as he had started, okay? No other gospel writer really uses the same powerful combination of words and images as Matthew. Now, there are others in there, but you're going to see they get to the same similar context of what the change has got to be. That charge that the disciples received, we're receiving that same charge. In Mark 16, verse 15, go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. Luke 24, verse 48 and 49, you are witnesses of these things, and I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high. And then finally, John 20, verses 21 and 22. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he said this, he breathed upon them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins, they are retained. Now, these passages leave no doubt that Jesus' disciples were charged by Jesus to continue this plan, to continue the plan. These readings that I just had presented to you provide the plan, the bigger picture, the wider purpose of what God wants us to do with our individual ministries, but they must be directed in a way that we are lifting up God. We are part of that universal plan that Ken read earlier. Again, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. There are many levels to this plan. Christians are called to live and work together in a community. We call this Christian community the church. And so in this community, we work as teams. And our churches need to be able to relate to the local situation. Wherever God has placed that church to be, they need to be prepared. Okay? Churches, as you will agree, serve in widely varying areas, different groups, and exposed to different people. The thing is, God encourages us to discern what is best, you know, for any particular area and apply the resources that we have at hand in each of those communities for God's greater plan or purpose. Now we must look at what we have, who we are, and where we are to look at this and discern what is best. What is best for this area? This often results in what we call a church vision or a church plan. Mount Hermon is in the middle of that right now. And it's going to take everybody to make it work. And somebody might say, well, you know, this church was formed a long time ago. Why do we need another vision, another plan? We still operate off the original premise of go, therefore, and make disciples. But our people change, the environment changes, and we need to adapt and be able to react to those changes as part of God's people. Now, from that personal level, we need and we should show responsibility to uncover and apply spiritual gifts which God has given to each and every one of us. No exceptions. How do we do this? We do this by knowing and loving ourselves, knowing and loving each other, but most importantly, knowing and loving Jesus. And by drawing on this power of the Holy Spirit, do what we can and do the best that we can to do the earthly things that we are challenged to do at this place and time. Okay? Now on a community level, the church, we need to grow and develop in our church life as a Christian community, built upon the values which Jesus taught among his own community of followers, the ones that were right there with him. We need to use the gifts that have been given to us to build up the church of Christ and direct our energies to wherever we can make a difference to God's world again in this place and time. Our final goal for both the personal and the community side is we must relate back to that plan, the Great Commission, which Jesus gave us so many years ago, that we would carry forward the ministry he began while he was on earth. And unless we have that connecting thread in place, our discipleship is in question. Because what happens is we start focusing on self rather than on others and on Jesus himself. We reflect on the beginnings of our own Christian faith. We recall people that have introduced us to Jesus. Many of us will think of a particular person who enabled each and every one of us to begin our journey of faith, and even a collection of people who reintroduced that renewal of faith for each and every one of us. We all come to Jesus by way of generations and generations of Christians who shared their experience of Him. People who were themselves introduced to Jesus by others. So the story of Christianity is a story of a great chain of witnesses linked through the disciples to Jesus. In God's plan, we all have a part to play. We all have a part to play. We need to introduce others to Jesus. We don't have to be a great missionary. We just need to know, and we have to believe, that Jesus is worth knowing. We will bring others into this relationship with Him, sometimes by our own quiet witness. We don't have to be able to necessarily deliver a formal class or even stand at the pulpit in order to teach our faith. We can teach by quiet example of our lives. But I would like to propose that we cannot just sit in the pew and watch others do. We must engage. Mount Hermon was established for a reason. There are reasons why we, the church, is here. And the plan, Jesus told us why we're here. We need to go, make disciples, baptize and teach. He is sending us with that same charge, just like His own Father sent Him. Pretty heavy company. But we need to respond, and we need to engage. This plan is telling us something to do. It's saying the one thing that we need to do, and that's why our primary isn't here on earth, is to be that we are left in this world, and it's part of God's plan to go out and to go. Jesus knew His time was short. He spoke to His disciples, and the message spread. Now watch and listen to what it was said. He didn't say stay. He said go. It's not enough to stay where we are because maybe it's nice and it's comfortable. No, Jesus is telling us we need to go. We need to get out there and share the Word of God. He doesn't say set up some nice little social club. He said we're to make disciples. You're here to work. That we are to be instruments through which God changes lives. Each and every one of us can change a life. And finally, He said, you don't just pick and choose who you bring to the ministry or who you share it with. He says all nations. He said, nowhere did I read does it say you have to be white male, white female, nor does it say you have to speak English. It says all nations under God. Now, this is a bit scary. We can spend our time hiding like those first disciples in that upper room, but the calling is still there nonetheless. We can get bit down. We can get depressed because, you see, I started this program. Nobody showed up. Maybe one did. But if we get caught up so much in what I did and nobody responded, we're losing sight of what God wants us to do and how we should be, where we need to be in our lives. Because what happens when we start thinking along those lines that, oh, poor me, I started something and nobody participated, is we start just looking inward. And the purpose is to reach out. Each of us has that power to energize. We've all been Christians for many, many years, and sometimes it's just kind of easy, and it's sometimes nice. We're just going to sit there, and we're going to let somebody talk to us because that's kind of easy to do. But it's our role to energize those around us that may already think of themselves as disciples and to encourage all of those around us as spiritual seekers and what discipleship can mean for each and every one of us. We have to respond actively to gifts, spiritual gifts, because each and every one of them was given to us by God. He didn't give them to us to waste. He didn't give them to him to put into a closet or put on a shelf. They're to be used. And it's part of that plan to use towards discipleship, to reach into others, to share in that good news, to be a part of. But the thing is, we have to move in some way. We have to make progress, we have to grow, and we have to develop ourselves. But the key is, we must go. Again, it never said stay. It doesn't say wait and look around so somebody else will do it. We must go. But above all, we need to be prepared for change and allow Jesus to transform us, to accept those changes that are happening about us and address it in a way that glorifies him. We must look outward and play our part in the plan of witnessing, that which, like I said before, was linked through the disciples to Jesus himself. When we take our breath of life, the Holy Spirit is breathed into each and every one of us. We may accept it or get on that bandwagon at different points in our lives. But this Spirit has been breathed into each and every one of us. We have been clothed with that power from on high. We have that plan of God. And the word is go. Once again, go. Make disciples, baptize, and teach. Now, in the beginning, I started off talking about a game of football. Christianity can be a lot like that. Sometimes it's a game. Sometimes we take it serious. But it's always supposed to be the same focus. Just like a football coach that has that plan, God has that plan also. He pulls together a group of individuals, of dedicated individuals, with all these different gifts, all these different ways of dealing with people. There are people that can speak. There are people that can just go out and you can look at them and you know this. God is walking with them. But that football coach has to pull together individuals for him to be successful. He develops the plan based off the personnel that he's been given. But he says, you got to work at it. It's not going to come easy. Never did I say it was going to be easy. There are going to be bumps. There's going to be bruises. Your feelings are probably going to get hurt. Somebody might even yell at you. And there might be a time you might even cry. But trust me, if you follow my plan and we work together, there's going to be a good thing in the end. Now, that win can mean, in a football game, the winning of a game. By accepting God's plan, it's a reward that we really maybe sometimes cannot even put into words. It's eternal life with God because we followed his plan. We reached out to those around us, and with the gifts that he gave us, we chose to act. We chose to step forward. We chose to raise our hand in that volunteer line and say, God, I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of your team. Now, the message title was, do you have a plan? God does. Now, as you're sitting here and thinking about it, now ask yourself these questions. Do I have a plan? But more importantly, does it align with God's plan? Simple two questions. Do you really have a plan? And does it align with God's plan?